City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 564. I'm Amy Matheny, and well, it's still not spring, even though we're springing sprung forward. It is definitely March. It does not feel like spring, but I am hopeful, and I hope you are too. And one of the reasons I think we're all so hopeful is that weddings seem to be in full flight now, at least in Cook County and a couple of other counties. And now Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan said at the end of last week that she thinks that all the state's counties could issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. So, you know, I wanted to talk about this from somebody who's a little younger than I, and also somebody who just be friendly rapport around this gay wedding thing, and also to talk to an expert about if you are planning a wedding, how do you choose a person that might officiate your wedding? So my co-host for today, I'm super thrilled about, it makes me feel a little bit like a spring bunny, is formerly known as the artist, formerly known as Lennox the intern. Lennox McGee is on the Queer Cast. He started being an intern with us, has now become a reporter for Red Eye. He is a special contributor to Chicago Public Radio. He's all growed up. It's Lennox McGee on the Queer Cast. Hey, Lennox.
Amy Matheny, how are you?
I'm so good. I couldn't be prouder of just your career and how much you have been doing, not only for the African-American community and the youth community early on, and now continuing to do coverage with LGBT issues. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is a great. I'm really excited that I had you to help me out throughout the way. I mean, you were my first radio reporting job ever, so you were very instrumental in helping me to become who I am today. Young,
I popped
gay, and
your
happy.
Cherry. That's all I can say. I popped the McGee cherry. You should not have sex with your interns, but you can do other things to be the first. You can be the first in so many different ways. Well, I want to know, because you run in a much younger crowd than I.
Yeah.
You know, how are your friends, and what are you feeling about GLBT marriage in Illinois? Now are people going to start wagging our fingers at us saying, like, when are you going to make an honest man or an honest man or woman of that, you know, that boyfriend, girlfriend? What is it, pressure? Is it exciting? How are your people, how are your younger people feeling about it?
my people are are very calm. A lot of my friends are really actually not really talking about it. They think that, you know, gay marriage is now a more serious issue, you know. So now when you go on a date, it's not like, you know, are we going to get laid? It's more like, okay, what's your credit looking like? You know, you have any kids? And, you know, you know. So it's like kind of more of a real aspect of life. It's more real for us now. So because we can actually get married. This is really cool. You know, right. Actually a week before Governor Quinn, like, kind of approved marriage, I got out of an 8-year relationship, and I was like, oh, this is kind of like God's irony, because we were talking about marriage and kind of getting things together with, you know, taxes and everything like that. So
yes.
This is pretty cool. Everyone, like, I think a lot of people are very excited about it, but I think it's like, you know, some of the things with gay marriage is very, you know, it's not as, you know, important to really, like, you know, fulfill. Like, I mean, you have gay homelessness with the LGBT youth. I mean, there's a lot of different issues, but this is pretty much at the bottom of the totem pole for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting too, right? Because I don't know. I think in your early 20s, mid 20s, you just date. You know,
you just date.
And I don't know that everybody kind of sits down over cocktails and is asking, so what do you want? Do you want to be civil unionized? Do you want to have children? Do you want to live only in Chicago? I mean, I think it's like, we'll see how it works. We'll see if we get through this night at Roscoe's, right?
Yeah.
But then the difference now is that I think in our 30s, maybe in people in their 20s are even going to start this conversation where it's like, what do you want? Like, what do you want out of life? Is marriage important to you? Do you want children?
You know, it is. Like, you know, that's the funny part. Like, I grew up most of my entire life not thinking that I'll ever be able to get married to another guy. You know, I never thought about that at all. So now that it's present in front of me, it's kind of just not on my radar. You know, it's just, you know, I want to have kids. I want to have, you know, the white picket fence, you know, the condo, everything like that, you know, the little Asian baby girl, so I could do her hair. I would do all of that, but, you know, I just thought I would have to do it alone or with a partner, but like a silent partner, if you will, like, you know, someone that's not married, but, you know, I just never thought marriage was going to be possible. So now that it's real, it's a whole new spectrum for me. I can't really fathom it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard. I am older than you, and I too never thought what it would be like to have that as an option. And now that I can, I think with the right person and thinking, okay, I'm in this for the long haul.
Right.
I think, yeah. And I think it's going to make us pick differently.
It's
going to make us select differently. Why? Because there's going to be accountability from the community and our families and our peers as to what do we mean with this person that we're in a relationship with, which I do think is a pressure heterosexual couples experience, which is why I think many of them get married early. You know, maybe they don't wait. They think they're running out of time. They do want to have children. I can at least speak for many women I know who are divorced and have children. You know, there's this feeling of like the community, society, family is all saying, well, when are you going to get married? Well, when are you going to start a family? When are you, you know? And I think that's part of the thing. It's a catch 22. I don't like it that will start happening to young LGBT people, but it does provide a community that validates your relationship and does want to say, are you really committing? How accountable are you? And I, you know.
Yeah, and I just to go back to what you said, like when you were saying how you just think differently now, like even when I'm going on dates now, I'm thinking different. I'm asking different questions than I did 5 years ago when I was going on a date. You know, it's a whole new reality for me. Like this is kind of like this can go somewhere deeper, somewhere further for me than I even expected. So I need to ask the right questions now and not just think this as a one-night stand or something. you know,
unless it's a one-night stand. And then
unless it's a one-night stand.
And then, come on, we don't want to take the fun out of being young. Come on. Or older, bitter, and just needing a one-night stand.
I don't know.
Whichever works. Well, it's definitely, an interesting conversation. And I think for Illinois, you know, the excitement happened at the end of 2013. And then we think, oh, we're going to wait till Gay Pride Month. And then this little slip of like, nope, you can just get married now in Illinois, we, you know, in Cook County. We think that's arbitrary. And so other counties are starting to follow suit, which is so fantastic because, you know, two of the couples, two of the three couples that were given early licenses to marry because of health issues. You know, I know one of the men, Ron Dorfman, passed away, whom I knew. And so, you know, so that was good and fortuitous that they allowed him to marry his partner of so many years, Ken. And we just had another woman out of a lesbian couple who passed away, Vernita Gray and Pat Ewart. You know, luckily Vernita is continuing to fight the fight with cancer. But I mean, this was timely. This was important to
have
these couples get married and this crazy arbitrary date of like, yeah, we're giving you that right in 6 months. Like, why? Why? Because you want to launch it at, you know, the Gay Pride Month or something.
Right,
so,
right. Be festive.
Be festive. You know? Right. And people's lives are on the line, you know. So I'm really grateful for that. And obviously there's a lot of planning that now. I mean, what a boom. What a business. And Windy City Times, we're going to be having wedding issues. So if you're listening to this, and I don't mean like, you know, lie down on a couch with a therapist issues. I mean, like, we are going to have featured wedding issues of the newspaper.
Like the New York Times does, like feature couples?
Yeah.
Or like,
we already feature couples. We'll feature couples all the time. But now we're doing concentrated advertising sections for jewelers and bakers and rental
Very
spaces
sweet.
And party planners and wedding planners and florists and whatever. We put out our first glossy guide here in February, which was amazing. And we're going to be doing that again late in the summer for fall weddings. And
that is really cool.
Yeah.
That's actually a really great idea. That's
Very
fantastic.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
But one of the key things is, who do you want to officiate your wedding? I have been asked, actually, to officiate one of my...
I can totally see you doing that.
Right?
Like, I can totally see you doing that.
Yeah.
I have this vision of you in this white dress. Actually, no, no, no.
I don't know. They haven't told me about a white dress yet, but I have to somehow go get certified so I can officiate a service. But, you know, there are people who want to do this, and so I'm very excited that...
What's that process like, actually, to officiate yourself? What does that look like?
I don't know. I'll have to start sharing about that a little bit on the podcast. I'm not doing the wedding until July, so I've got a little bit of time. But people are starting to get married now, and there are people who are professionals at officiating weddings to make it really special for you and to help guide this ceremony. And so we reached out to the folks at the Ethical Humanist Society, keeping it very, you know, non-denominational or could be, you know, slightly denominational. But, you know, if you have a church home, maybe you would go to the church home to get a minister to officiate. But if not, I sit down with Joanne Hopner from the Ethical Humanist Society and talk about, you know, what are you looking for and what are the questions to ask? And so that's coming up on the show. Plus, there's lots more GLBT news and entertainment. And after we come back with that, we will talk about maybe getting your wedding officiated.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Illinois, a total of 258 couples, 137 male and 121 female, were issued marriage licenses at the Cook County Clerk's offices the week following a federal judge's ruling that called for immediate implementation of the state's marriage equality law. A dozen out-of-state couples applied for and received licenses in Cook County. Also, five were from Indiana, two from Colorado, and one couple each from Wisconsin, Michigan, Kentucky, Texas, and South Carolina.
Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan said March 4th in a letter to Macon County Clerk Stephen Bean that all states' counties could issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The letter came after a correspondence with Bean last week wherein the clerk expressed confusion over the implications of the verdict in a federal court that said same-sex couples in Cook County could now marry.
A federal judge has struck down Texas's ban on same-sex marriage, ruling it has no rational relation to a legitimate government purpose. The decision is the latest in a series of federal and state court moves to overturn current laws forbidding gay and lesbian from legal wedlock. Judge Orlando Garcia, based in San Antonio, stayed enforcement of his decision pending appeal, meaning same-sex couples in Texas, for the time being, cannot get married.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray announced that public and private health insurance plans that the D.C. government regulates, including Medicaid, D.C. government employee insurance, and private plans sold on D.C.'s health exchange, are required to cover transition-related care. This announcement makes D.C. health care coverage the most comprehensive plans for transgender Americans in the U.S.
The ACLU of Virginia, and Lambda Legal filed a motion in the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit to intervene on behalf of all Virginia's same-sex couples and their families in Bostick v. Rainey. The groups are challenging the state's marriage ban in their own class action case representing all same-sex couples in the state. Harris v. Rainey, on February 13th, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District ruled that same-sex couples in the state will be allowed to marry, and all same-sex couples legally married elsewhere will have their marriages recognized. However, marriages cannot yet take place since the ruling was suspended in anticipation of an appeal.
HRC is calling on Mississippi lawmakers to reject an anti-gay legislation that would allow businesses to deny services to LGBT people. SB 2681 would allow businesses in Mississippi to deny services to anyone if they felt doing so was a burden on their exercise of religion.
Tempe, one of Arizona's most populous cities, enacted an ordinance prohibiting anti-LGBT discrimination in housing, employment, and service in places such as restaurants and hotels. The city council vote was unanimous and came a day after Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a controversial bill that would have allowed anti-LGBT discrimination in public accommodation. Tempe now joins Arizona cities like Tucson, Flagstaff, and Phoenix in protecting LGBT citizens.
Utah officials say they have no choice but to put a freeze on granting benefits to newly married gay couples until a federal appeals court rules on state's same-sex marriage ban. The filing comes in response to a lawsuit the ACLU filed in January on behalf of four same-sex couples who claim the state's decision violates their vested rights and has created uncertainty.
American Idol alum Clay Aiken officially filed paperwork February 27th to run for Congress as a Democrat in North Carolina. Aiken is looking to unseat Representative Renee Elmers, a Republican who represents North Carolina's 2nd Congressional District in the U.S. House.
The NBA plans to donate proceeds from the sale of Jason Collins' jerseys to the Matthew Shepard Foundation and GLSEN. Collins became the league's first openly gay player when he signed with the Brooklyn Nets, and his number 98 jersey has been the top seller on NBAstore.com. He chose the number 98 in tribute to Shepard, who was killed in a hate crime in 1998.
The Walt Disney Company has given notice to the Boy Scouts of America that it will pull all funding to the group starting next year because of a BSA membership policy that bans gay leaders. Disney does not give money directly to the national organization. However, through its Volunteers program, Disney allows employees to do volunteer work in exchange for cash donations to the charities of their choice.
Oxford, Mississippi unanimously passed a resolution recognizing the dignity and worth of all city residents, including those who are LGBT. Oxford joins two other Mississippi cities, Starkville and Hattiesburg, which both passed similar resolutions earlier this year.
Former Republican Senators Alan Simpson and Nancy Kassenbaum joined a group supporting civil marriage rights for same-sex couples in a filing with the Federal Appeals Court reviewing gay marriage bans in Utah and Oklahoma. 20 Republicans describing themselves as conservatives, moderates, and libertarians who embrace Ronald Reagan's big tent beliefs for the party said in the filing that the benefits of marriage and social stability of the family unit are promoted by providing access to civil marriage for same-sex couples. The group urged the United States Court of Appeals in Denver to uphold lower court rulings striking down bans on same-sex weddings in Utah and Oklahoma.
The Maryland Senate has approved a bill that would ban discrimination based on gender identity and expression in the state. The measure passed by a 32-15 vote margin after senators debated on its third reading for fewer than 20 minutes.
Democratic Attorney General Jack Conway said he would not appeal a federal order requiring Kentucky officials to recognize same-sex marriages performed in one of the 17 states that allow them. Though gay couples still cannot obtain marriage licenses from Kentucky clerks, the subject of a different lawsuit, United States District Judge's ruling entitles those legally married elsewhere to the same spousal rights and benefits given to every married heterosexual couple in the state.
Former Miss Kentucky Jawn Trent came out publicly in a post on her personal blog as queer. It was the recent ruling requiring Kentucky to recognize same-sex marriages that gave Trent the final push. She won the Miss Kentucky title in 2010 and was a Miss America top 10 finalist in 2011.
In world news, barely one day after President Yoweri Museveni signed the anti-homosexuality bill into law, Ugandan tabloid newspapers began running articles publishing the names and photographs of people perceived to be LGBTI. On February 25th, Red Pepper published a list of names of what it called the country's 200 top gay people, some with photographs. On February 27th, Hello Uganda published an article entitled Defiant, Top City Homos Throw Mega Bash, along with photographs and names of persons perceived to be LGBTI.
Following a recent federal ruling, married same-sex couples in Mexico can access benefits the Mexican Social Security Institute is administering. In a landmark ruling, the second chamber of the Mexican Supreme Court found it discriminatory for the agency to exclude gay and lesbian couples from accessing health and pension benefits.
The percentage of people opposed to gay relationships in Northern Ireland has dropped from 3/4 to 1/4 over a period of 25 years. The NI Life and Times survey looked at the views of 1,200 people on a range of issues. The percentage of those who said gay relationships were always wrong fell from 76% in 1989 to 28% in 2012. The latest survey, however, found that a third of Northern Irish people disapproved of gay adoption and were opposed to lesbians being offered fertility treatments.
The secondary legislation needed for same-sex marriages to commence in England and Wales has passed the House of Lords. The passage of 6 regulations in the House of Lords paves the way for the first same-sex marriages to commence March 29th. The legislation is now slated to return to the House of Commons due to opposition.
In entertainment news, HBO has renewed the gay series Looking for a second season. The dramedy is about three friends in San Francisco who explore the fun and overwhelming options available to a new generation of gay men.
And HBO has confirmed the movie The Normal Heart will debut May 25th. Directed by Ryan Murphy, written by Larry Kramer, based on his Tony Award-winning play, The Normal Heart tells the story of the onset of the HIV/AIDS crisis in New York City in the early 80s. The movie stars Mark Ruffalo, Matt Boomer, Taylor Kitsch, Jim Parsons, and Joya Roberts.
Gay singer Steve Grand, who made it big with his viral video All American Boy, launched a Kickstarter program to fund his debut album and raised $114,000 on the first day. Grand appeared on the show Larry King Now to talk about the album and campaign, and King pulled out his checkbook to make one of the first contributions.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Juma Entertainment are trying to make a film about Glenn Burke, the first openly gay Major League Baseball player. Burke came out of the closet in 82 in an Inside Sports magazine article, then on the Today Show. He died of AIDS-related complications in May of 1995 at the age of 42. Burke is also credited with inventing the high five.
Oscar winner Ellen Burstyn is slated to play the earthy lesbian aunt of Natasha Lyonne's reformed wild child in the Amy Poehler-produced pilot Old Soul. The sitcom for NBC revolves around Lyonne's character Nadia, who runs a business caring for the elderly.
Singer-songwriter Gloria Estefan and her producer husband, Kenny Ortega, will be the grand marshals at the 6th annual Miami Beach Gay Pride. The Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade and Festival will take place Sunday, April 13th, along Ocean Drive between 5th and 15th Streets.
And the new Dancing with the Stars Season 18 cast has been unveiled. The cast includes Champion Ice dancers Charlie White and Meryl Davis, actor Billy Dee Williams, lesbian long-distance swimmer Diana Nyad, reality star Nene Leakes, and comedian Drew Carey, among others. Pro Derek Huff announced a twist, saying that at some point, the cast will all switch partners. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Jill Sobiel, and you're listening to me on the Windy City Queercast. I'm proud to be on Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 10th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. 525,600 minutes. Spend 150 of them at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. It will change your life. Friends is playing at the Paramount March 12th through April 6th. It's the theater, critics are calling, the real Broadway in Chicago. Tickets for Rent on sale now at ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com. It's the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents a world premiere adaptation of Charles Dickens' legendary classic, A Tale of Two Cities. This epic tale of resurrection and redemption runs Thursday through Sundays, now through April 6th. For tickets to A Tale of Two Cities and more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Escape Ordinary. Experience Extraordinary. Giordano Dan Chicago's spectacular 51st season continues March 28th and 29th at the Harris Theater. Giordano Dan Chicago's electrifying performances include a world premiere by resident choreographer Autumn Ekman, featuring live performance from the 26 singers of Chicago's Bella Voce. Tal, to a blend of Indian and jazz rhythms with live vocals by Chicago's own Sheetal Heinert, as well as audience favorites. Get your tickets at harristheaterchicago.org. Giordano Dan Chicago, March 28th and 29th at the Harris Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
Contemplate our lives, our love is so true. My heart knows it's time to say four words to you. So under heavenly skies, on bended knee, I'm so sure when I say, so darling, say I will, darling, say I.
In June of this year, 2014, GLBT people in Illinois will finally be able to tie the knot. Legally, marriage equality becomes the law of the land here in Illinois, as it has in the past couple of years in many states across the United States. So now, all of us gays, we're all scrambling, we're making plans, we're getting on bended knee, we're buying rings and planning honeymoons and renting facilities. But what about who actually marries you? I mean, there are many options and many things to think about in your wedding planning, and who is your officiant might be just one of those decisions that you need to discuss and be informed about. So I am thrilled to have the coordinator for officiants at the Ethical Humanist Society of Chicago here on the Queercast with me today. Hey, Joanne, how are you?
Hi, Amy. I'm fine, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about, tell me about the Ethical Society. We're talking about the Ethical Humanist Society of Chicago. Is it a church? Is it a philosophy? Is it a congregation? What is the society?
Well, we would say it's a religious / philosophical group. We were founded in the 1870s. It's the second group. The first society was formed in Chicago, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on the issues that we see around us rather than focusing on a God or other things that we really don't know. We're very respectful of other people's religions and beliefs. But our group focuses on what we can see, and based on scientific reasoning.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come to the society?
I was raised in a rather traditional Protestant, liberal Protestant group in Canada. And when I got into university, I began to think more broadly on my own, and I saw the value in other religions, which I hadn't understood before. Mm-hmm. It was the time of the Vietnam protests, and I saw people of many different faiths. We were all protesting together, and it just seemed that that there really wasn't one particular answer, and I was really looking for a more broad perspective.
Mm-hmm. And do you have services? Do you have fellowship?
Yes.
Do you have meetings? How do you become a part of the society? And how
right,
does the society
we function as a religion, and we are recognized in Illinois as a religion.
Mm-hmm.
We have weekly meetings, and the topics vary. It could be something to do with the arts, with science, with history. Philosophy, intergenerational, they vary tremendously. We have a wonderful Sunday school. It's really a main thrust. I've been involved in the Sunday school for many, many years, and we try to foster understanding of other religions.
Mm.
So we study other religions, and children especially like the holidays of religions.
Mm.
And I think understanding those holidays and what they represent, you begin to see the commonalities.
Yeah.
And at the end, we hope that the children would see that the basic ethical philosophy is similar in all major religions.
Mm. So based on those similar ethical strains and themes,
yes.
How has the ethical society, where have they stood with the GLBT community over the years? And do you have a lot of GLBT members?
Well, we're certainly open and welcoming to anyone. Over the years, certainly we have been despairing that we would unable to offer a lawful wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
We have done commitment ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have done advertising in papers that are targeted to the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
We have many members.
Yeah.
Who identify themselves.
It's a welcoming environment, it sounds like, because obviously for many of us in the gay and lesbian community, there's been this, upbringing for many or most of us, if we were raised in a religious faith, that something about the religious faith is contrary to our identity. And so for many members of our community, I think, have felt like there is no spiritual or sacred or religious home, and ultimately it's a long road for people to find those homes. And definitely things have changed within Judeo-Christian denominations, and even Dignity Chicago for Catholics and other and religious groups have obviously evolved on this issue, as we even see the new Pope, spiritual leader.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it is a very welcoming and inviting place to explore religion and ethics and a spiritual life, philosophical life with you
mm-hmm.
all and with
mm-hmm.
the society. So what is an officiant and what do they do?
Well, we are trained to do the ceremonies, and that would include baby namings, weddings, and memorial services.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this for our own community, and we do this also for the greater community.
So what should people think about, when you're selecting an officiant, and how well does an officiant need to know you, and how much time does an officiant spend with you if they're going to marry?
Oh, well, right. We do not do counseling per se,
mm-hmm.
so that anyone who wanted premarital counseling needs to go to a professional counselor or psychologist. The ceremony itself, we usually meet at least twice with each couple.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we try to get to know them, we try to get to know what they envision
mm-hmm.
and what they would like to have in their ceremony, and then we try to make sure that we're able to do that. I don't, for instance, do a prayer If this was something that is very important to a couple, then perhaps a relative could read a prayer, or mm-hmm. we could. But I personally don't do that as part of my service. There's many little parts to a service that can be included. And what I really love to do, if the people are of different religious backgrounds, if there are some sort of cultural aspects that we could keep, then that is a wonderful thing, and it warms the relatives and friends mm-hmm. That are of that persuasion to the new couple. Of course, the vows are important, and we have sort of a standard set of vows. If people want to use them, well, we encourage them to make their own vows that are meaningful to them.
Do you think that's becoming more and more popular today? I mean, even before GLBT marriage or gay and lesbian marriage equality, had come to many states. But I would think that had become much more popular, writing one's own vows.
Yes, I think, right, I think it is. Although in traditional religions, there is a kind of a formalized template that one goes through, I believe, in just the weddings that I attend of traditional religions. They're quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
With us, we like to make them unique. Each family is unique, and we would want the ceremony to represent the couple.
Do you have a set of questions that you ask a couple that are going to marry? I mean, to get to know them and their background, I imagine some people don't even know what they want when they get to you. Or do people seem to know what they want when they get to you?
It's interesting. They know what they don't want. but a lot of people have not thought about what is possible.
Mm.
Since for most people, this is the first time they've ever gone through this procedure, they need to understand that there's a wide range of different types of ceremonies, short, medium, long, filled with music, filled with readings or not, and many different ways that the ceremony can be done. We can include people or not include people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever the couple would like to have, we would try to put that together for them.
Yeah. So is gay marriage, in your mind, going to be different than opposite-sex marriage? Do you think same-sex marriage is going to bring anything different?
I have done two commitment ceremonies, one with a gay couple and one with a lesbian couple. And no, I use exactly the same procedure, exactly the same words. I just don't use bride and groom. I would use groom and groom, or bride and bride, however that people mm-hmm. would like. But really, it's absolutely the same. And it's interesting that there are certain very touching parts of the ceremony. And in the two cases that I have done, they choked up, mm-hmm. both of them, at exactly the same place that most people would just feel that is very emotional, mm-hmm. emotionally laden. It's, mm-hmm. so it's exactly the same. There are no differences.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that, you know, there are many officiants, so there are different people that could marry you, male or female or younger or older, or how many officiants do you all have?
We have four. We have two men and two women.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I are two of the officiants.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have been together for 46 years.
Mm.
Then we have a lady and a man. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, I think, personal experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And is this really, do you think, the most important? I mean, when I think about what this has meant for us as gay and lesbian people, to, you know, have this opportunity, to have this moment that honestly I don't think I ever thought, you know, as an adult, that it would even be an option for me, which is not something heterosexual kids ever think it's not an option for you not to get married. And for gay kids, you know, we're all having this thought of like, wow, like this could happen now, whether we're in a relationship. I mean, I know people who've been together 20 years who are like, I don't know that I want to get married, you know? And then, and then there can be somebody who's single who now thinks, wow, well maybe I do want to be married one day, and they don't even know who it's going to be too, you know? It opens up such a huge question about what marriage means and what it means to our lives personally. But it really does feel, it does feel like a very sacred and holy thing. And like most people are more interested in the service that you would officiate, or they would officiate, that they would have officiated in one of, in their religious home, than I think people really feel going downtown and signing a document that, you know, makes it legal, quote unquote, on a civil level. Because obviously we've had civil unions, but but this marriage kind of makes us all equal. Do you think it's because there is this sacred space, or there is this philosophy of what we both want together, and it does feel less like a contract and more like a covenant, or a, I don't know what the word would be that, you know, that would fit within your society, but
Well, it certainly is a very moving experience. It is a, it's a spiritual moment, if we could use that word. And it is, I believe, a basic human right that you marry, and that you have the right to marry. I, in preparation for speaking to you today, I talked to a friend of mine who had been with his partner for, I think, 30 years, and his partner recently passed away. And I asked him, if he'd had the opportunity to get married, would it made any difference in their relationship? And he could hardly even answer that question. And much the same as you've mentioned, and it was so far out of the realm of possibility. You know, he said in the 60s, he was just so worried about being arrested. And then when Washington came in, and there was the fair housing, and that just seemed to be so helpful to people. So I look at it as a basic human right. And his point to me, which was so tender, is that in the gay community, in fact, when you stuck with your partner, that was really a marriage that had that stuck together without having legal backup. So that it, in fact, was almost a higher level of union because the law was not there. But I so whatever people wish, I just am very excited that everyone has the opportunity. You do not have to get married. But if you do find that person that you want to share your life with, and apparently there are innumerable legal and tax incentives that other people have, then this has to be extended to everyone.
Yeah. It's so interesting. When you were talking, I was just thinking of the couple that you know, and I'm thinking of so many G and L, gay and lesbian couples that I know who have been together 20, 25, 30 years, you know, and I think of how many failed heterosexual marriages I know, and I definitely know a lot of failed homosexual relationships as well. You know, it's, I think what will be interesting is if we see, you know, if there's any difference in divorce rate or whatever, you know, after we have some, a decade to see, you know, I think we're going to be just like everybody else, honestly.
I think that's the case. I think it will be just like everybody else.
But it has been such a testament, you know, and such a witness, those relationships, those 20, 25, 30 year relationships, like you said, like your friend, who don't have the support of community, who don't have the support of law, and they or government or law or, you know, incentives. They also, many, not all, but many don't have children binding them. You know, that this is truly a union of two people who have forged to be together, you know, and have worked as in a partnership, deep partnership to make that happen. I mean, it doesn't matter if you've been together 20 or 30 years, it's not casual. I mean,
no, it is
you may
not.
Have,
it's
you may
not.
Have different parameters and you may have mm-hmm. different ways your relationship exists. And, you know, I know some people who don't even live together, who've been together for many, 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 many years, but you're still together, you know, you're still building a life, sharing a life or whatever. And you go, wow, there's a lot of intent, you know, in a union that doesn't have those things that now gay and lesbian people will have that straight people have, and mm-hmm. Meaning the laws. And I also just think community is such a big part of it, you know, that we can thrive when we're seen, we can thrive when we're acknowledged as a unit, we can thrive and excel. And when we're not just trying to survive, like you said, your friends were worried about, you know?
Yeah,
it's really, really interesting. Well, it's so exciting that the Ethical Humanist Society of Chicago exists here in Skokie. You are located at 7574 North Lincoln Avenue in Skokie, Illinois, just right up the road. And there's lots of information on your website at ethicalhuman.org, and we will have that linked in our show notes as well. Plus, if you have questions and you want to reach out to Joanne, or I know Sharon is there often answering the phones, or others, you can call 847-677-3334. That's 847-677-3334. And you all have your Sunday morning is open to anybody, right? If people
Correct.
Want to start getting to know you all, you have programs that begin Sunday mornings around 10:30. And how else do folks can they just show up? I mean, how do folks get people
Oh, sure.
to just come?
Just come in. We have childcare in this wonderful Sunday school if anybody has children.
That's fantastic to know. And how is it best for people to call or just email if they're interested in seeing about having someone officiate their wedding? Yep. And also, you have a location too, right? People can get married at your facility. Tell us about your facility a little bit.
Yes, they can. It's a very lovely building, and it would hold about 100 people. And there's a pretty little garden outside in the nice weather. People have gotten married there if there's a small wedding. Mm-hmm. So, yes, but we're also happy to go to another location if the people have chosen somewhere else.
Yeah.
We're happy to go there.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I mean, it's exciting now, as you said, people maybe know what they don't want, but how amazing to start discovering what it is you do want and
do
all the
want.
Possibilities.
That's an important thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. And I do encourage people to check out the ethicalhuman.org website and stop by and enjoy their programs and get to know their services and their members at the Ethical Humanist Society of Chicago on North Lincoln Avenue in Skokie. Thank you so much for getting us started on some of this wedding conversation. I know it's what we're all going to be talking about for many, many, many months to come.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So this has been a great show. I don't know, Lennox, you're not ready to get married yet. I'm not ready to get married
not
yet.
Not at all.
But the good news is we can plan. We can look at the Windy City Times guides. We can, you know, we can start gathering information for when that right person comes along and we want to pop the question. When we want to pop the question. In between, I hope you have many a one-night stand.
thanks, Amy.
Fully, fully exciting and fulfilling. But I do know, I just want to talk a little bit because you have been such a great, just, you know, really beat reporter, really starting to talk about stories that wouldn't get covered unless there were people like you saying this is a story that deserves to be heard and told. And you were sharing with me a story that you've been working on that concerns the homeless LGBT African-American community. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing a story that's probably going to showcase mostly on my blog at Linux in the Second City, which is on ChicagoNow.com. But I'm also going to try to get it on Chicago Public Radio. But it's about LGBT homeless teens and young adults that want to be HIV, AIDS want to be HIV positive or have AIDS rather. So they go around, they go around sleep with these different men and get AIDS, and then they get government acceptance from like getting housing and getting food stamps, that kind of thing. So they get HIV too in order to get government protection, government help for housing,
wow.
So they can get off the streets. So it seems counterintuitive, right? You know, to contract the virus to make life easier. It just seems like really crazy. But, you know, I found like a couple of homeless teens in Chicago that are actively, one is actually still negative, but he's trying to become positive so he can get housing like some of his friends and get food stamps. It's just a mind-blowing story that I think
it
should be told.
A mind-blowing story. I mean, how broken is our system if that is how the young homeless community is trying to survive? I mean,
how
broken is this system? Are you finding this to be a trend in other cities? Are you focusing primarily on Chicago?
You know, New York City, there's actually a big story in Out Magazine that actually talks about this happening in New York. And, yeah, I'm going to be doing the first one in Chicago. But it's this weird, cruel paradox, you know, having to get really sick in order to get to enjoy a better and more comfortable life. It just seems really bananas to me. But, you know, these people are telling these stories. You know, they grew up in really, like, you know, horrible homes, and like, you know, they had to become these sex slaves, if you will, you know, to the, you know, to these guys, and it's just a crazy world. So yeah, you can check out most of the story on Linux and the Second City on ChicagoNow.com. But yeah, it's a great piece.
Well, we are going to have you linked in our show notes, and that will be great. And so, what are you doing for fun these days, Linux?
For fun, like, since I don't have Linux's tip of the week anymore, I have no idea. No, you know, I'm teaching journalism to high school students with True Star Magazine, which I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm a publicist for a rap group. Imagine that, next to Ken.
Love it.
No, so I'm going to a lot of parties, a lot of events. Trying to not drink so much, but yeah, it's a good time.
Time. I think it's so important for us as LGBT people to mentor or to give back. And I think, I mean, obviously that's how our relationship kind of started, but I think that, I mean, have you being able to be an out gay person, and I'm sure your students are not all, or who you're mentoring is not all an LGBT, you know, everybody's not LGBT, but I'm sure you're very out and they will know what stories you've covered. And I mean, I think it's so important, don't you? I mean, we are really shaping this future that everything's going to look very, very different for them. Good and bad, it's just different.
Yeah, and it changes everything. I'm training young journalists to become these really great journalists one day. So, you know, right off the bat, when I start teaching, I was like, hey guys, you know, because they're gonna definitely Google me or try to Facebook me, and they're gonna see all these articles about some about me and some about, you know, some of the people I've covered. And I'm like, you know, I'm a gay male, and you know, this is what's going on, and you know, they really respected that and they understood it, and there was no, like, you know, discrimination either. So this generation is such a different generation when it, you know, they are more accepting as when you say gay or trans or you know, anything, so they're pretty cool about it. So it's very exciting. I mean, I think they learn a lot, and they really are, you know, we get the gay issue out of the way, and then we talk about real things, you know, like because the whole time they'll be like, oh, is he gay? You know, with his skinny jeans on, skinny jeans and his tight belt.
You're adorable. That never changes. Sleep with the interns. Don't sleep with the students. Okay, not even the one night stands. That's a message I would like to send out over the airwaves. However, do mentor. Do mentor. Well, we will have Linux back, hopefully next month. Want Linux to be kind of a more regular voice here. He is a vibrant voice in the LGBT community in Chicago and in the African American community. So give us a nice new perspective. And I need to keep it young and fresh, Linux. I'm getting old and tired, you know?
Have
your own All About Eve moment where you, like, you know, you take over. You just take over the queer cast. It could happen one day.
I'm going to get you my walker and we can go out in the clubbing.
Take me to one of those rapping shows. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. One day I hope I'm at your wedding, Lennox McGee.
I hope so too.
I want you to have the white picket fence and all of it. I'll even officiate if you choose me.
Yes, I would love that.
I'll read a little poem or something. I'll do something.
Actually, ask me to get married on Chicago Public Radio. So definitely, I will definitely have you there to
there
do the whole
go.
Thing.
I think that would be fantastic. Lennox McGee, check him out with Red Eye and Chicago Public Radio. We will have his website linked in our show notes, so check that out and follow what he's doing, and Lennox will be back here on the show. I hope you all have a great week. Please, let's just mentally think it's spring. It's springtime in Chicago. We'll all get through it together. Oh, have a great week.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.